Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is indeed my honor to serve as your host for tonight. You know, every Tuesday, man, I'll be so excited. I just be like just waiting and waiting with anticipation for the hour to come around for us to start this program. And it's because I'm always gifted with the absolute best speakers, the experts in their particular field. And so tonight is no different. However, before we get to that, though, let's back up. Let's slow it down a little bit. And there's a couple of things that we like to do just to kind of get ourselves in the same energetic vibe with one another. And so the very first thing that we do is pay honor and homage to our ancestors. We give thanks to each and every ancestors that we know and those that we do not know, but we call them all and we honor their presence and their energy that they came and gave to us. And we know that the ancestors protect us and are around us, especially on Tuesday nights, because we go way outside that proverbial box and we talk about subjects that are not always part of a general conversation. And so we enjoy being able to bring such cutting edge information and knowledge to you. So ancestors, thank you for holding us up. Thank you for giving us the courage and the tenacity that we need to carry on day in and day out. We honestly could not be doing this without you. So we appreciate you so much. Whew, I say. Thank you, ancestors. And next, we anchor ourselves in positive energy by reading one of my daily inspirational messages. And what we're reading today is called Why Now, N-O-W, Why Now. And it says, the first month of the year is about to come to an end. What magnificent accomplishments have you realized? Are you experiencing more peace and joy? Has your health improved? Are your relationships overflowing with unconditional love? It is time to manifest exactly what we desire. Why now? Why not now? We are ripe for the picking and choosing. Now is the time. That is why now. So when you get to the fork in the road, know you are on the right path. The way and how to do it will be made crystal clear to you. So again, it's why now? Why now? And you may be asking that question as our speaker tonight, Brother William, will be carrying us through some information that he has to share with us about creating generational wealth. And so I just want you to keep that in mind with what I just read is why now. It's important and is needed right now. So again, you can find my daily inspirational messages at Rev sandy@wordpress.com. You may subscribe and have them delivered to your email every day if you would like. They're also available on Amazon through ebooks, through the Kindle store. You can get them that way as well. So it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. Tonight we're talking about Family Wealth 400, and I have the distinct honor of featuring my brother, William Saphir. He's an author and a financial advisor, so he'll be up with us shortly. But audience, you know you're invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcome, and it is our intention that every voice that wants to be heard will be heard. You would simply call in to us at 516-531-9819 and push 1 on your dial there, your keypad, and that will let us know that you want to speak live on air with us. And then once your line is opened up, if you're waiting in between to make a statement or to continue contributing to the discussion, if you would just put your phone on mute until you can make the comment, because the microphones are extremely sensitive and pick up a lot of the background noises, and a lot of our regular listeners likes to listen over and over and over again or listen at other times other than the actual recording as of tonight. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would appreciate. That's the only request that I have other than to sit back and enjoy the information that's coming to you. If by chance you would like to go and listen to any of our other shows, our pre-recorded shows, we have over 450 shows. I think I just saw 456. So we've got quite a collection. We'll be going into our ninth year in just about 6 weeks. So hang in here with us and watch us just keep providing this information to you. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take a quick music break, continue on this path of setting up our energy to be able to receive the message that's coming to us tonight. So we'll be right back, and we'll bring on Brother William Saphir and have him to bring us his message for this evening. We'll be right back, you guys.
Mind is in your way. No more tears to withdraw, and we have fun.
expressions say we're a winner. That's right. That's right. That's the mood that we in. We are a winner. Welcome back, everyone, to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Once again, you're welcome to call in and be a part of the live discussion at 516-531-9819. And you would just simply press 1 on your device to let us know that you would like to speak live on air with us. Oh, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining with us this evening. And so tonight's show is called Family Wealth 400, and it features my brother, William Saphir. He's an acclaimed author and a financial advisor. This unique economic system is designed to work in direct conjunction with the Numetics Institute and its founding principles. And William's going to break that down and tell us, explain a little bit more to us what the Numetics Institute is. This program is set to demonstrate to families how to have generational faith-based, faith-centered wealth, creating wealth from the quantum field. I know you guys have heard about that. This system is geared for families, yet easily has global impact due to it being rooted in scientific knowledge. So my brother William says, real wealth equates to whole wellness, W-H-O-L-E, whole wellness. So welcome to the show, William, once again, and we so appreciate you for coming on board and sharing your expertise with us, particularly in this generational wealth building. It just sounds so fascinating. So we're anxious to hear what you have to tell us. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. And, you know, it's certainly an honor. That's what comes to mind right now. A blessing, of course, but an honor, not to me personally, but to true humans, you know, those who are genuine and sincere and true to the best that's in us. True humans. You know, it's an honor, and I feel honored to be, I consider myself to be a part of that, those who are striving to live up to the best that the Source Creator has placed in us. And we want to thank Source Creator for allowing us to grow, develop, and evolve for the last almost 75 years, Sandy.
I know.
Yeah. And just thinking about a timeline, actually tomorrow, my wife, the love of my life, that 49 years ago, she said yes to me, and we got married, and we celebrate that anniversary tomorrow. So there was something that you shared in those opening remarks, and something about now. You know, it's really all about now. You know, yesterday is gone, tomorrow hasn't gotten here yet. So we're always living in the eternal now, you know, and it's just that time. The Temptations captured it in that song you were listening to. You know, they said that we're moving on up, you know, and that's the human history, one of being elevated, regardless of how it looks on the surface. You know, the universe is progressive. Always moving up, always moving forward. It's always progressing, no matter how it looks on the surface. And it's the same in our lives. I was asked earlier today, as we were recording for the upcoming book of the same title, Family Wealth 400, of our podcast and also of a workshop that we're doing in Atlanta, February 18th. We'll tell you more about that later. And of the ebook that will be a teaser and introductory effort that will just whet our appetite for what's to come, because this work has turned out into a very extensive effort that's needed by human beings all over the planet, but in particular here in America, and even more particular in the African American community. Now, the information that will equip our families to actually look 400 years down the road, as Native Americans had traditions to do, you know, to look way down the road and plan way ahead so that they know what to do in the now. So it's very timely. Again, Temptations captured it when they said, we're a winner. You know, we're born in victory. We're born to win. We're created to win. You know, and the more we acknowledge that, the more we'll be able to manifest and attract all that we need to us, to our families, to be positioned to do just what we're going to discuss this evening. And that is, you know, creating generational wealth. 400 years worth. I know that there might be a lot for people to wrap their minds around, but it's not only doable, but it's absolutely necessary for us to take advantage of the now. Sandy, the temptation said that this blessed time has come.
Yes.
We're in it.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
And it looked like all hell had broken loose. You know, you look at the government, you look at the economy, you look at the educational system, you look at the cultural circumstances, you look at society and how people are acting like they've lost their minds completely. But Scripture says, you know, while we would live in that dreadful day, it would also be the best day, the most successful day. We're in that blessed time right now. In that time right now. So it would only behoove the alert, since we are in that blessed time. Well, how can I capture that? You know, how can I align with that? And how can I plan for that for me and my family and my offspring and my descendants coming behind me? How can I actually plan for that and be a part of this process? That's what building generational wealth is all about. It's a whole lot more than just planning to having growing right now into being what's called millionaires and billionaires and seeing how far that will take us. A lot of money is a part of the picture, but it's actually a small part. If the other parts of the picture are not taken care of, will happen. It's what has happened to many so-called rich families. They lose it in a generation or two,
mm-hmm.
because they fail to focus on the things that really matter and the real wealth, which is in taking care of and nurturing and developing the strongest thing that we have, and that's our intellect. You know,
right.
Yeah. And then when we do that, we move into what's called consciousness. And, of course, that you're talking about mnemonics, and I'll describe that in more detail in a minute. But the word consciousness comes from the word conscious, which means, if you look at the root meaning in that word, it will take you back to the idea of conscious means with choice. The con means with, and the conscious part is C-O-I-U-S, that's choice. So with choice. So when we are honoring our intellect, in ourselves individually and in our families, when we're honoring that and holding that up and developing that, then it'll allow us to make wise choices. You know, it's one thing we were talking about our people, and we spend a lot of money, you know, and a lot of it's done foolishly and carelessly because we don't let it circulate within from our hands before it leaves our community, where we can take advantage of establishing our families, where we have some control over the quality of life that we desire. And we're so busy, you know, trying to convince ourselves or other people or strangers or people we don't even know and probably don't even like that we have a certain numerical or financial quality of life by impressing them with expensive cars and huge houses and expensive clothes and on and on and on. It's phenomenal just how much we waste, but not to have a developed community and family life.
So I wanted to ask you, when you made a statement earlier about the 400 years, and that it may seem pretty expansive, you know, to talk about creating a plan for 400 years. But most other cultures, or some other cultures, they have been building their family plan out 400 years plus for just eons of time, and that is probably why. Would you agree that our culture, or how we're doing things, is putting us behind the eight ball, so to speak?
Oh, no doubt. And there's a couple of factors that come to mind as you raise that question. The first one being, I've heard it said recently that you don't know what you don't know. My chiropractor loves to remind me of that. You know, you just don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not been taught really what, I mean, as an ethnic group, we have not been taught, nor have we passed along the wisdom. You know, you start your shows with, you know, paying tribute and honor to the ancestors. Well, you know, we were faring better right after slavery than we are now. You know, in terms of land ownership, in terms of taking responsibility for that little piece of land that we may have had right after slavery, you know, and us establishing businesses for ourselves and community life. And we were excited about the prospects of governing for ourselves. We had senators and governors of states, and only God knows who we had as the real ethnic groups of our past presidents, and the history at one time will be revealed, but. We did better then, you know. We did better right after slavery than in so many ways than what we're doing now in terms of actually having control over the community life, the family life, but so we didn't have what we had even before we came into slavery back in Africa. We had the griots, you know, the elders among the tribe. Mm-hmm. And they would just naturally just pass on the wisdom, the history, the wisdom, the things that we treasured in terms of valuables and principles, that was passed on, you know. And that was the protection of the village life, of the community life, of the family life. But we lost that, you know, during slavery. Coming out of slavery, we stepped back into some of that because that's just your nature to do that kind of thing. But we lost it again, you know, because of the influence of commercialism the miseducation, as we were told about one of our leaders, you know, and his famous book called The Miseducation of the Negro, he made it quite clear that the educational environment miseducated us more than they educated us.
Mm-hmm.
And although we had some of us have arms full of degrees, we aren't able to go out and establish economic life for our neighborhoods, for our family, for our community, for our ethnic group. You know, we're still depending upon other ethnic groups to take care of us. And
yeah.
Although some of us, you know, we have some of the entertainers and athletes and you know, sports figures that are able to be, gain some kind of notoriety by becoming millionaires and billionaires, but still they're not doing the things that will help the ethnic group establish itself and attain the level of dignity that we had, you know, back in the motherland. And again, even after slavery, we did more to dignify our position by having some control over the destiny and the direction of our communities and our families back then. We've lost it though. And so the effort here and really looking at considering the idea of building generational wealth for 400 years, that's one of the primary things that we want to do, is to get us thinking in that direction again, and to, you know, turn over in our thinking, something we can chew on, you know, and really look and see what are the possibilities. Even the experience that we've had here recently with going through COVID gave us a time when not all of us, but I think a select few, had time to think and ponder and began to think, you know, I can't really depend upon somebody else, another ethnic group, to care for me first. Naturally, they will take care of their own ethnic group first. That's just natural, to take care of family first, you know. To care of, it begins at home, then it spreads far, you know. So we had time to do a little thinking when we were stuck in our homes, and we had an opportunity to begin to socialize and try to communicate with each other again. And, of course, now since we've kind of come out of that, we're going back into our old habits again. But so the effort that we're introducing right now in generational wealth building, 400 years of it, it's definitely needed, it's doable. I don't know if you thought about where the 400 came from, but it's no coincidence that and round figures, you can very well say that we were in, we had the period of slavery and Jim Crow's about 400 years worth of it.
So to balance that out?
Not only to balance it out, but to, I think we should honor that period of time. I don't think we should look at it as a curse on us, a curse on humanity. I think it was looking back at it, I think it's one of the best things that happened to humanity in all human history, those 400 years.
Okay.
It was tough. It was hard. You know, and it's for most of us, it's still hard, you know. But it was a time that there was like a time for purification and cleansing of all of the problems that human beings have brought into our lives, not by everybody, but by those who did go against the creative excellence that's in human beings, and saw the opportunity through the wisdom that they were able to tap into, and they used that wisdom that was passed on from the ancestors, some of the the sages of our ancestors passed on some very precious wisdom. Some people got a hold of it, and they use it to manipulate the masses.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's done even till today. I just love that song, "Real Winner." You know, but see, but it's time now. It's time now to get involved in this process of moving up. You know,
right, right.
Yeah, and moving up first in our consciousness. That's the first step. And you mentioned Nunetics. Nunetics, you're talking about being blessed. That blessed day has come for the first time. Well, Sandy, you know, we've been involved in this work for what, over 60 years now.
Right. Yep.
And when we were kids, so you were 10, I was 12 when we first really started, you know, really start focusing on the pain and the anguish and the trauma and all the things that were, the oppression that was all around us. And more than anything else, the pressures forced us, allowed us, I like that better, because we made a choice. We made
mm-hmm.
a choice.
Right.
We decided to do what we could do in our own minds at the time. Again, we were kids, but we felt the urgency that in us to do whatever we needed to do to dignify ourselves, you know, because we saw a whole lot around us that wasn't speaking to dignity, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We saw the pimps and the prostitutes and the drug dealing and the gang banging and the number running and what was used to be called the broken families. I never liked that term.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we saw all of these things. We saw poverty, you know, we saw, call this homelessness nowadays. We call them the winos back then, you know, but all of that destruction, self-destruction, and, you know, we witnessed all of that. But there was something that was in us that was saying, no, not only are we better than this, we are so far better than this
mm-hmm.
that we must honor that urge in us to completely transform our lives, where we had not only as high a quality of life as anybody else, but where we would become a beacon of light, not only for ourselves, but for other people. That's what was going through our young minds. You know?
Right, right.
And so where we are today, you know, here, but over 60 years later, it's taken that period of time for things to take shape for us and get positioned in our hearts and in our minds and get the knowledge and the experience that we've needed to produce the kind of effort that this Family Wealth 400 is presenting. What it presents is the best that's in us, not in me. It's the best that's in conscious human beings.
Mm.
Let me tell you something about the human being. I was listening to an African American physicist. If he's not a physicist himself, I know he's studying behind one of the foremost physicists in the world, and he's African American. Matter of fact, my oldest daughter studied along this man with this man for while she was in college for a short while at the University of Maryland. This young man pointed out that in quantum mechanics and quantum physics that they have discovered, and there's another branch called epigenetics, that they have discovered that in just a small tiny pin drop on one of your fingers, that the DNA in that contains data that goes back all the way to the beginning of the universe.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes. So we think that, you know, we bought this lie, you know, and the temptations mention that, you know. We bought this lie, you know, that as creatures created by the source creator, that we're not worth anything, you know, that we're not worthy of dignity and respect, that we are liars and cheaters and sinful by nature. That's an outright lie, and it can't be supported if you really study the original script that we call divine revelation or scripture. Of course, what we receive in the religious environment has been all messed up over the generations, over the years, you know, and mostly what we're getting today in most of the religious houses, unfortunately, is not the revealed word from source creator. It's somebody else's misinterpretation of it, mistranslation, manipulation of it for their whatever interest they might have. Nunetics is a science. It's something that's actually been preserved for you and I, for African Americans. For 400 years that we're looking at, they have prepared the African American to lead the whole global community, lead humanity out of darkness into the real light. Remember in the Matrix, where Neo was in that battle and he got his eyes put out?
Right.
You know, and he said he was in this total darkness during this battle, but all of a sudden he saw this light. All he could see was light upon light upon light. And I think we have been prepared, the African-American. We got this urge in us, just like you and I had that urge when we were 10 and 12 years old. We had this urge that was in our nature, that was in our soul, that was saying we are a precious creation and that we deserve to be honored and respected as such. We couldn't really put it in words, but it was just, you know,
right.
Yeah,
right.
We could. I remember the conversation we had then, and we said, well, what are we going to do? We looked at each other and said, well, I don't know. And we said, well, there's paper on the streets and in the alleys and in these vacant lots, so let's start there, you know.
Yeah.
And so we did. We got in motion. We got active. And we started doing things, and that's key for all of us talking about establishing generational wealth. You can't just start studying. You can't just start planning. You can't just start feeling your way through. You just can't get happy about it. You just can't get in some spiritual excitement about the thing. That hasn't gotten us anywhere. We're the most spiritual people probably that ever existed here in America, you know, so that hasn't gotten us, you know, anywhere. And just in terms of spiritual excitement, you know, not in terms of really growing and developing spiritually, but just the spiritual excitement, you know, because the real spiritual development comes when you exercise your mind in relationship to the revealed word and what's happening on that unseen, unknown level, like the scientists have done in quantum physics. You know, that's when you start making some progress.
Right.
But that urge that we had, you know, we got busy. We got active. And the more we did, the more we were blessed to broaden our scope and deepen our faith and what we were doing, and our commitment got stronger. And before you know it, we were thinking about everything. You know, we were discussing the employment situation, the educational situation. We were discussing the problems with violence and drugs and alcohol. We were taking on all of those ideas and concepts and problems that we were seeing in our community, family life.
We were talking about all those things. But it came from us taking whatever we were being moved or motivated to do, and we moved on it. We acted on it. And we had, I didn't know it back then, but we were acting on faith.
Right, right.
You know, what these quantum scientists are talking about now, these physicists, you know, and these people in the fields of epigenetics and all these, it's advanced study on how the brain works and energy systems. We were moving on that. We were moving. We didn't know what to do or how to do it, but we just had this this innate, built-in trust,
mm-hmm.
and we just started moving.
Right,
know?
Right.
And the more we moved, the more we were guided. We didn't. I didn't know we were being guided.
I know, right? Right. Nobody ever told us that.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Nobody ever told us that.
That's right. But the more we acted, the stronger our faith got and what could be done, you know. And the only reason why we didn't complete that job in that particular neighborhood was because we were stirring up so much of the consciousness of the community, and we were pointing so directly and vividly toward the problems and the ills and the circumstances, until I think that helped fuel that situation, that one spark that happened,
yes.
to set off the Watts riots.
Yeah.
You know, because the people were so, now they was, you know, because when you're in a situation like that, it's almost like going to the bathroom. You know, when you first go in there, you know, it stinks, you know, but after you're in there for a few minutes, you get used to it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can be in hell, but you get so used to it, still, you know, to you, it's just the way it is. It's just life. This is the way people live, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when people start shaking you up and pointing things out and causing you to think, you know, now you get disturbed, and it didn't take much to kind of spark that kind of what do they call it, a rebellion or whatever.
yeah. And, you know, I'm taking notes as you're sharing this knowledge with us, and what seems to be a theme that's running through this is that the terms that are used for certain population, the African American, for one, are all negative, you know, and then in that same vein, whatever appears to be our strength, they turn that against us, or, you know, is used against us. Like you were talking about the spiritual excitement being one of our largest, and how, you know, that has been manipulated. And so, you know, just some thoughts I want to share out there with the audience to be thinking about as you continue on with your presentation.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I appreciate it. And you know, you brought me back to sharing with our audience what this science of mnemonics has available for us. We have the opportunity for the first time, Sandy, you know, and you and I, we've been looking for this all our lives. We've been looking for the magic sauce, the chemicals, the chemical reactions, whatever it is that
mm-hmm.
helps us get a better handle on this thing, you know.
Right.
Trying to heal ourselves, you know, socially and spiritually and mentally and emotionally and all those different ways, especially the emphasis that we've been putting on the physical kind of healing by eating better and better foods, but also the big part about the mental healing. You know, 300 plus years of abject, outright slavery with the worst trauma that human beings have ever in America.
Mm-hmm.
We were never treated for that.
Right, right.
And so it's still in our subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
That trauma is still, we're still carrying it in our genes. That trauma has never been released for the group. It's never been cured or released or lessened for us. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still troubling us. You might wonder why, you know, what a very dear friend, his son, just got shot just the other day, you know, and, you know, it was very unexpected on the one hand. On the other hand, Dad was kind of halfway expecting it because he was out in the streets doing things that would invite that kind of madness, you know.
Okay.
But there's something that's that trauma that's in our, again, in our DNA right now, it
mm-hmm.
has to be resolved. We don't know all that we've been blessed with here in America. We've been always taught to move toward the more self-destructive thinking, the more self-destructive concepts as relates to that thinking, the more self-destructive emotions, you know, that's those things we've been conditioned with, you know, the cultural expressions, you know, every time we come up with something, and we're very creative, we'll come up with some new art form, whether it's in song or dance or whatever, and then the commercial establishments get a hold of it, and before you know it, it's completely corrupted, you know?
Exactly.
And it's working against us instead of for us. And if you want to make it, you know, commercially, then you have to dance to the music of the producers of the commercial expression.
Mm-hmm.
Else you don't get paid. So, so we're at a point right now where we have, again, these tools to use. Back in 1975, W. Dean Muhammad, Imam Wallace Dean Muhammad, when his father passed and he was raised into the leadership position by those that were following Elijah Muhammad, he made some comments in 75, some far-reaching comments of talking about honoring the ancestors, wisdom of the ancients. He said, words make people. That's one of the most profound statements on the pages of history. Just those three words is enough to liberate us. Words, and when you can wrap your head around that concept, you know, that if words make people, and I've been made an enemy to my own self.
Wow.
Then are there some words that can change that around? You know, the thinker was all thinking like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I'm very careful about the words that I allow to make up my mental environment and things I repeat day in and day out, and when I hear or feel something coming up in my mind or in my feelings that's self-destructive or disruptive of my equilibrium and my balance, if I feel that stuff or I hear that stuff coming up, you know, can I override that with this selection of words that's more healthier for me? And believe me, your thinking, not only do your thinking affects you and develops the feelings, the emotions, but your thinking also determines your physical health.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do words make people, but if the thinker will start looking at, okay, what makes up word? What's make up a word? The letters make up the word. There's a very distinguished scientist, a very dear friend of mine, as a matter of fact, Benjamin Bilal. He's been on your show.
Yeah.
And he has taken years of his life to develop this science called Nunetics that takes
etymology, the history of words, to a whole other level. And he, instead of looking at just root meanings of words, he looks at the what he calls the seed meanings that's in each and every letter, listen to this, in every language. And each letter, not only does each letter have a meaning, it also carries a frequency. When you start studying at that level, that will equip us even to go back and pick up where our brothers in Kemet left off.
So do we have to study the numetics in order to be able to build this generational wealth concept that you're talking about?
If we want to be grateful, I would say so. It's not absolutely necessary because all of us don't have to do it, but at least the thinkers among us, those who I'm like this. It would be totally ungrateful for me on my part that if I was brought to my front door, I am broke or struggling, trying to make it from paycheck to paycheck or on my retirement check or whatever, on my Social Security, whatever, you know. If somebody came up and brought me a pot of gold, could be bullion, I wouldn't care. Could be the bricks, the bullion, I wouldn't care. But brought and put it on my door, and I said, you know, what is this? You can take that. I don't want that. It would be so ungrateful if I was gifted with something like that in a time that I need it, and I turn my back on it,
okay.
That would be so ungrateful, you know. And everybody don't have to become necessarily scientists or scholars in it themselves, but it's something that we can teach to our babies. Look, listen, this science is so foundational. As we speak, Instructor Bilal is teaching youngsters 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And he's teaching PhDs, doctors. He's teaching them as well, and any and all in between. He's teaching scientists now. And all, so it's available to anybody that wants it. It's not like you have to, you know, go borrow a lot of money like you do it and getting these college loans and spend 4 or 5 years of your life in an institution somewhere. You know, it's so available and it's so accessible to, if someone turns their back on it, then to me, that's just the height of ingratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the thing that can put the African American in alignment with what I think, that's my take on this, is our destiny. I think God has placed us in these 400 years of enslavement, Jim Crow, all that mistreatment, all that trauma, all of that. That it was a purpose for it. And the purpose wasn't to punish us and to curse us. The purpose was to wipe that slate clean for humanity and for to build this longing and this desire in us for the best that human life has to offer. And then when that became available to us to access it, that's what numetics represent. And it's just the science that can go back and not that it's all in that, but it's the key,
It's
the key where you can go into history, you can go into science, you can go into religion, you can go into culture, because it's the words that make up all of that.
Right.
So if you have to, and I'm telling you, how do we know the Egyptians were the masters of knowledge of information back in the day? They weren't the only ones, but they left the signs, and the signs were what? The symbols.
Right.
The words.
Right.
On the walls of the pyramids.
Right.
So it's the words. Those were words. So once we can understand the thing that has enslaved us and has, quiet as it's kept, and this quantum physicist that I mentioned a few minutes ago, he exposed this. He said that we all right now are enslaved. We just don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that has enslaved us, the tool that was used to enslave us can also free us.
Right. And that's, you know, one of the things, if you, when we stop and take a look at the words that we use just to move in and out of every day, you know, like what greetings do we give each other, you know, when we first see someone? And normally, you know, we say it and we keep going and we never stop to think, but why would, and I know that this is probably have been said before, but, you know, why would you greet someone with good morning? Who want to start day with morning, you know, and hello. And you know, there's other ones, other words too, that we need to really consider revising or choosing another word, a word of higher vibration than good morning. And I work on that really, really diligently. And for the most part, I can, you know, not use those terms, but at least I'm conscious, you know.
Right.
So even if I do happen to use it, it sparks something in me to be like, okay, now you promised yourself you weren't going to use that word, you know. And we're talking about the vibration. And
yeah.
So, yeah, those words have very, very low vibration. And so I'm not sure exactly how that fit into numetics, but if we would just take a look, when we take a look at
mm-hmm.
the words that we use, we can feel the vibrational energy of it on our own. So, yeah.
Yes, definitely, you know. And again, it's so accessible, you know. And it's the more, it's like anything else, you know, the more you get into it, the easier it'll get for you, and the more meaning it'll have for you as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that I just definitely wanted to share with everyone. You know, for how, you know, a lot of the financial advisors, what they'll do is they'll show people how money works, you know, and that's okay, you know, but it's more important to me, you know, say, okay, understand
mm-hmm.
The whole material reality. And how that relates to your family being secure and safe, and your family being positioned so that it can do what all human beings are designed to do, and that's grow.
Mm-hmm.
We're created to grow. We're created to increase. We're created to get more. You know, but we're also created to go to an extreme world where we are so attached to that, so that describes our reality, you know, where I'm living for the dollar. Just think about it for a minute, Sandy. From the time that our children can speak well and they're walking around, we start asking questions like, what you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, yeah.
and then by the time they get in school, before long, what you want to be when you grow up? So now they're really thinking. But they spend anywhere from 12 to maybe, 16, 18 years of their life, spend all of that time working with the thought of, I'm working so that I can earn some money.
Right. That's true.
So the whole focus is on the material existence and barely surviving. Cause,
mm-hmm.
Because this focus on my career, what I want to be, you know, is an employee for somebody else.
Right, right.
You know, and you know, the world is very obvious in this day and time that you cannot, you know, thrive being an employee. That's almost impossible.
Right, because you're working to help somebody else to maintain their lifestyle or their financial goals. It's not about yours.
Exactly.
You
but the child we have them thinking and oriented and
all of their direction and the whole young life is focused on money,
right.
You know, and what it does, but that focus, see, poor people are more focused on money than rich people. People understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Poor people love money more than rich people, but they're so attached to it till they don't. They'll never learn how to make it work for them. They'll spend their whole life working for it.
Right, right.
That's backwards. That's upside down.
Yeah.
You know, the material world is designed to work for you, not for you to work for it. But if you don't have a good understanding of the totality of the life, you know, the 400, there's four in that, right?
Right.
Creation. Remember that group, Earth, Wind, and Fire?
I was just thinking of them.
there's air, there's fire, there's water, and there's land. Sometimes they'll say Earth, you know. But those fours, you'll see it over and over and over and over and over again. Throughout the creation, throughout the human life, fours will come up again. That's foundational, you know. Talking about ancient Egyptians, and they knew that numerology or that number science extremely well, and they incorporated it into all of their sciences and to the growth and development of their philosophies that govern their thinking, their society, and their family life as well. But those components of the life, those four components of the life, you know, all four of them have to be addressed in your plan for building wealth for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you put the emphasis in the things that now you get out involved in the material reality, and that gives a substance and direction even to your spirituality. You know, so not saying at all that no, we must get engaged, really engaged. You know, using our creativity, using our mental acuity, our ability mentally, our motivation and our spirit. You know, using all of that to engage this material creation as we do that, but we do it so that we all can grow humanly and protect and preserve the human life. The sensitivity, you know, that's what makes us human. You know, you get to a point where you get so wrapped around a dollar bill until you will destroy yourself, you'll destroy your friend, your relative,
yes.
Your
yes.
parent, you know.
Yes.
Because you're going to an extreme with that thing.
You're right. And, you know what, William, what I really appreciate about what you're bringing to us tonight is the fact that it's not a vibration, like you're saying, through college and things like that, or, you know, getting the highest paid job, but to take another look at how we process the words and our actions towards the wealth that we receive. And I don't think anyone, I have not heard this particular approach to creating generational wealth before, because it's all about the system, right, where you spend all of this money to go get a good education so that you can get a good job, but then you're spending good money to pay back for that good education that you got. And so when we start at the other end of it and realize our values as humans, our values as creations from the Most High, then we get to look at it from a whole different perspective, and perhaps it will flow to us easier because we're not running after it, which usually means that, you know, you're going after something that's running away from you. But,
yeah.
You know, because you're changing the frequency and the vibration of your words and your approach to life, then you're attracting more of that wealth into your life, and not because you're exerting so much energy, but because what they say of the words that we use. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, Sandy. You're absolutely right. You know, if you know, when the sciences again say, see, and we have to study this stuff. Not the world needs us. The world needs free thinking. You know, the world needs somebody that has that. We didn't make this world, you know, so we're free of this world if we will only acknowledge that and allow ourselves to be lifted up to that. You know, we are not responsible for the mess that the world is in. The African American, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're not responsible for this. You know, we have been. We are the victims, and we've been victimized by it, but we're not responsible for it, you know. So we should take this freedom that the Creator has given us, this freedom of mind. United States needs us. I don't have anything against the United States of America and our government, our educational systems. And I don't have anything. I can't think of a better government to live in than the United States of America. So don't misread what I'm saying, you know.
Right, right.
But the United States, the whole humanity around the globe, you know, I love what we call the motherland, the continent, Africa. I love my brothers and sisters around the world, especially the ones who look most like me. I love them. But I don't have any real desire to go back to Africa. They need us. If you think about in almost any African nation right now, they need us more than we need them. But they don't need us if our minds are all jacked around, you know, and we're not honoring what God has given us. God has freed us. We just
True.
Have to own up to it. We got we got to allow ourselves to be this freedom that God has given us. You know, and we have the ability to think above these folks that screwed everything up. You know, and to look and to allow our consciousness to be lifted up, and then to look back down on it and say, okay, what you're doing don't make any sense, man. The way you messed up this world, screwed it all up. There's much wealth on this planet for everybody to be what they call rich. They have way more than enough.
Right, right.
It's enough wealth and resources on this planet to have a constant circulation of the wealth where every living person on this planet, there's not too many people on this planet. That's what Gates and all the rest of them folks keep telling us. So they have everything in place to physically, morally, and especially spiritually, to kill people all over the planet,
mm-hmm.
through the poison air, the poison food, the poison land, the poison water, you know, the poison words, you know. But there's enough, there's plenty enough, you know, for everybody. We have the free minds and the free hearts to think like that, and to develop creative systems that can. You don't have to completely replace what they got now. There's a lot of good there, but beyond the mess that they've made, they're attached to it. They identify in it and by it. We're not, so we can. Help the United States of America. We can help Europe. We can help Africa. We can help the countries all around the world. They're looking for us to rise to our potential, to rise to what position that God has made available for us, to rise into that dignified state, use our listen, you know what the quantum physicists are saying right now?
No, what's that?
They're saying that we should create from the quantum. Do you know what that means?
No, break it down for me.
All right. That means that we should
create from the unknown.
Yeah.
Not from what we think we know. You know, we got that problem. You talk to these, I have an attorney friend. Boy, I got to share that with you one time. I told that guy, I said, listen, man, what I've learned through studying science and information and knowledge over the years, what I've learned is that the greatest knowing is to know that you don't know.
Right, right.
That upset him to the core. Because he just knew he knew everything about everything, and it all's been discovered. You know, that shook his world.
Yeah, because it goes back to what you were saying earlier. You know, about the education and going 16, 18, 20 years to these institutions, so that you do get an attitude like the attorney where you think you know everything.
Yeah.
You know,
So you become a slave of the worst type.
Exactly.
And that's what we have in the world today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the real thinkers are going back to the same kind of thinking that our forefathers had. You're talking about honoring the ancestors. And this is the way you honor the ancestors, you know? They were constantly... You ever heard the I think it's called the Dogon tribe that was down in Mali? You heard of Mansa Musa, right?
Yes.
That part of Ghana, around that part. Well, they actually originated, the Dogon actually originated in Kemen. And then they traveled to the Dogon, to the Mali area, where they used to stay up all night long in contemplation and meditation and studying the heavenly bodies. And they weren't in some, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of, you know, studying, throwing bones and superstitions. No. They were thinkers.
Right.
Yes, and they were looking at the order, the structure, no telling how deep they were looking into the material and spiritual signs that they could see everywhere, you know. But so they were the main thinkers, you know. That later you have Mansa Musa was able to come out of the Timbuktu environment, you know. Those, I'm just throwing out some words people are familiar with, and able to amass that amount of gold that was made him richer than anybody you know ever, and was able to disrupt the whole economics of the world in a pilgrimage that he made to Mecca and back, you know, by giving stuff away along the path, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it all came from, all really started from us being thinking on the level of thinking that we were thinking on and observing this creation.
Right.
And now, as we talk about building generational wealth, we have to have the same, be committed to the same degree of thinking. Again, not all of us, but enough of us where the whole group can benefit from it.
Right.
And we can design, think about it, Sandy. In the last trimester of pregnancy, the baby is already being influenced by sound, by words,
mm-hmm.
before it comes out.
Yep.
And so from from that time on, we have the opportunity to create an environment that can nurture and develop and inspire and motivate and guide that total human creature, the mind, the heart, the soul, all of it. By the time that child, 6, 7 years old, 12 years old, 18 years old, they are ready to rock this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have the opportunity to do. And to create strong family life with strong human beings that are rising to the heights of all that the whole evolutionary process from the beginning of this creation up till now, as I mentioned to you, is already inside of us. It's clocked to our genes.
Right. Mm.
And if we will just move in alignment with and cooperation with the design that's in this creation, all of it is available for us to access. And we can do that right in the confines of just being regular old human beings. You don't have to be nothing super, 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 super special. Just regular human beings.
Just regular. Well, look, William, I want to cut you a little bit short right here because we only have about 12 minutes left. And if anyone has a question, a comment, or something that wasn't perhaps clear to you that you would like clarification on, our number is 516-531-9819. Feel free to call in now to get your concern addressed. And hit 1 on your dial. That will alert us that you want to speak live on air with us. Otherwise, before we get too close to the end of the show, William, I would like for you to give contact information for yourself and more information about the workshop on February the 18th to the group. You can continue if I did catch you in mid-sentence on a thought that you had, but I did want to give the audience an opportunity to ask whatever questions or make a comment if they so chose to.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
So I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, let me shift gears a little bit because, you know, for some, I know I've kind of stretched some imaginations, I'm sure. I'm sure. which is good.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm doing with my family, you know, I'm not just out here teaching and preaching, you know, and being theoretical. My two grandkids, I got been blessed with two wonderful grandchildren. And when I really started formulating these thoughts, and I was motivated by another brother who's already got a 300-year plan in motion. For his family.
Right.
And he's putting major building structures in the name of his grandchildren already that are, you know, 3-4 years old kind of thing. So he's the one who inspired me to start thinking like that, you know. But with my grandchildren, when I really start thinking in this direction, I said, you know, why don't we just take money off the table as a major concern? So I immediately found some financial products that by the time they get into college, by the time they get into their teens, well, they'll be millionaires, you know, and they will have a net worth of over $1 million. They're already, both of them right now, have net worth of 500 grand already. So what this does, what it does, it, and I'm teaching them about these particular financial concepts, but the idea is not so much about the money, but to take money off the table as a major concern. They spend their whole life trying to prepare to be a slave to money. So you get that out of the way. Here you got the money. Now let's learn how what it really means, how you use it, how you grow it, how you preserve it, how you protect it, you know. So let's get that out of the way. Now, let's spend more time on your creativity, your productivity, your values, your principles that you're governing your life by, your ability to think, you know, how you are contributing, you know, to the household, to the family, helping your mom, you know, or your dad or whatever, you know. Let's get to things that really count. So that's what I've been doing in my family. And we have been looking at some of the traumas that's built being carried in our genes, in our DNA, And we have been tapping into that and neutralizing some of those traumas that is still giving us problems. We consciously have been creating visions of a better and better and better and better future for us. I didn't have all this information when I was, you know, raising the family up.
Right.
But it's never too late. Never too late. Never too late, you know. So,
like you said, it's in our DNA. So, you know, it's not like we're going to forget it.
No. Let me just mention Dr. Joe Dispenza. I really like his work. And Dr. Bruce Lipton. So I would strongly suggest, you know, they have plenty of information that's on YouTube and online. People want to look into some of their work. But there are some of the forward-thinking scientists that give you some practical tools you could use and some of the information you can utilize to begin to think on another level. Not to mention my dear brother, Benjamin Bilal. He has, I know he has way over 100 video on YouTube, and I don't know how many other sites that where you can find his works. Wealth of information on the science of genetics that will help you understand how you can get involved in that. And there's a website, geneticsinstitute.org. That's NUNETICS. Institute, INSTITUTE.org, where you can see information about upcoming classes and events, and as well as his books. He has, 20 books that are available. So there's plenty of information for those that want to see, you know, what is this man talking about? there's plenty of information, and World Financial Group, you know, that's one of the organizations that I work with. They have a lot of information, you know. We just have to get busy, you know, instead of wasting our time day in and day out for the same old pattern, giving us the same old results. You know, who was there that said something about the definition of insanity?
Yep, doing the same thing and expecting something different.
Yeah. So if you want something different in your life or your family, especially, look, we're in the best time in history. Do you know, listening audience, that this is the time that all of the wise sages in the past, including the prophets, this is the time that they knew this time was coming, when knowledge and information would reach a fullness, not a completion. This, you know, we're just scratching the surface. The scientists are saying that 95% plus of the knowledge is unknown. That's almost all of it, right?
Right.
Some are saying 97% is unknown. Some of them say it's in the they'll call it the unified field. They'll call it the quantum field. They'll call it black matter. They'll call it what else do they call it? Black hole. But the people who are inclined spiritually just call it the unknown. So most of the energy is in that space too.
Right.
But energy is not some Casper the Ghost kind of energy, some spooky, you know, you can't get it unless you get into a trance or something kind of. No, knowledge in that energy, people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you get your heart and your mind right and get busy, you know, expanding your thinking, deepening your ability to perceive, to ponder, to be creative. If you do that, then you'll qualify yourself to be able to tap into the unknown. by permission of the one who controls all of that, and that's the one who created all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you call it, God,
right.
Source Creator, I like Source Creator, Allah, Jehovah, whatever you call that. Some call it infinite intelligence. Whatever you call that, it doesn't matter what name you use. It came from somewhere. All of science, all of the deep thinkers agree to that. This whole thing came from somewhere, from something.
Mm-hmm.
That thing has the, as it says in one of the scriptures, it has the ability, the right to create, also to command and to permit. So if you qualify yourself as a well-meaning, curious, thinking creature called human being, and you exercise that, then you have the opportunity to tap into that vast reservoir of energy and knowledge and be able to create things that this world hasn't even seen yet, even thought about yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what time we're living in, y'all.
Right, right.
There's more opportunity today than ever before. I know you can't see it because all that I'm telling you, you can find what I'm telling you online right now if you look for it. It's just not me talking. So it's a wonderful time. Again,
yes.
That's a good place to look at look at those individuals, Benjamin Bilal. You can also see him in EMAM, I-M-A-M, Benjamin Bilal. And the website, and you can see, you can Google him or YouTube. Yeah.
Right,
He's all over YouTube. And you can see the schedule of the classes and might look at some of those. There's a lot there, though. And that's just in learning that particular science. The other ones that I suggested was, as a matter of fact, go to that website and you'll see the information about the event on the 18th in Atlanta. I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but let me.
You're talking about the NewneticsInstitute.org?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go there
okay.
and get that information. Let me give my they can reach me at WMSaffir, SAAFIR, at yahoo.com. WMSaffir at yahoo.com.
Awesome.
And
well, that is it for us. Go ahead, William. You have something else to say?
I was going to get my phone number.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. 817-089. 817-657-8089. I love to talk, so give me a call.
You got all of his digits, man. He gave out everything. So that's cool. But mark your calendar for February the 18th to get more knowledge of this information that's been shared with you. And thank you so much. So now next week is the first Tuesday of February, and Brother Lavelle Rouser is going to be coming back bringing us his second part of the numerology lessons that he's done for 2023 with the energy of 7. So make sure you tune in next week. I love you guys. Be safe. Take care. And we'll be back next week, same time, right here. Love you.
I love everybody.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
That's what I want, more just what I need.